Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Now, I don't know if I'm speaking into the ether here, or if I've just had the idea of scheduling this and putting it together, and I've had a very long day, but I find myself in Chisinau, which is the capital of Moldova, which is known, of course, to be the poorest country in Europe, and I am doing a bit of the old, I'm basically making a documentary. Basically, the idea is that this is potentially the future. As things kick off in Western countries, as things become absolutely awful, then people are going to start to flee. Where are they going to look to flee? Well, possibly places that there's not much investment in yet, possibly places where that haven't been spoiled yet, possibly places where they can sort of go in on the cheap, as it were, and then buy up, develop it and make it better and so forth. And I'm wondering if Moldova, which no one, it's landlocked, so there's no beaches, there's no beach holidays, there's no none of that, there's none of that to attract in people and make it touristy and make it go western and ghastly and decadent. And then there's not much way of resources. They don't really produce much apart from wine and fit women, so there's not much going on there. Thank you. My producer's in the room with his burp, who's Moldovan, and so that's that, and so this it's a really which country? Moldova, Mr. Lyon. Hello, cheers. No, not Malta. Look, cheers, everybody. Cheers, Mr. O'Connor. Cheers, Cassandra. Cheers, Star Lyon. Yes, a surprise, JH. Exactly. So this is what I've done. So I've come to Moldova. I'm going to make a film about it. And the film will be produced eventually. We have in the pipeline, I don't know, these things take time when you employ chaps to do them and so forth. But we have Leicester in the pipeline, which hopefully will be out quite soon. It's quite hard to take this off. Leicester in the pipeline, which will hopefully be out quite soon. And then we have Birmingham, which was absolutely fascinating. And then we have, I'm doing this, I don't know when it'll be out, it could take ages. But am I doing trafficking, says Mr. Alpha 077.org. No, I'm not doing trafficking, sir. No, I think I'm going to look into that. There was a very interesting TV series on Moldova about 25 years ago, where this girl is trafficked from Moldova to the UK as a prostitute. But I get the impression that it's moved beyond that. Go to Lviv. You've got to focus, sir. I like the idea of you've got to focus. The thing is, you've heard that Lviv is very beautiful. You've heard that Lviv is very beautiful and unspoiled, and therefore that you should go to Lviv. And I see your point. But I'm telling you, Chisinau is that. It's got a very, very bad rap from Mr. Balden Bankrupt, who, as you know, I'm quite a fan of. Film in the Baltic countries, perhaps, says Richard Jacobsen. Well, I've kind of done that. And no, I think this is more, they've westernized severely, particularly Estonia and Latvia, particularly Estonia. You know, this hasn't westernized. So this has remained unspoiled. There is almost zero immigration, almost none. To the extent there is any immigration, the people aren't from here. There's a few Uzbeks that I met today. And I really mean only a few. So it is overwhelmingly Moldovan. Last night, there was a celebration. There was a sort of a special day in Chisinau. And they were able to block off the main road, like the equivalent of Oxford Street or something like that, have a big concert of folk music and a sort of folk stroke rock fusion, where the singers were wearing folk costume in front of the Parliament building. And then all the way down the main street, they had market stalls selling kebab, selling shashlik, you know, meat and whatever, and just stuffed this, that and the other, and sort of traditional sort of Moldovan food. And then just tables you could sit on and eat it. And it's extremely high trust. I mean, imagine if we tried to do that in the centre of London. There'll be people coming along, putting their hands in the meat just to be disgusting, or stealing the food, or whatever. You wouldn't be able to have it. It would be chaos. Or health and safety would get in the way, and say that for health and safety reasons, you couldn't have all this public barbecuing and public food. And someone would say that there weren't enough in the city, and it would destroy everything, and it would be absolutely no good. Whereas what I felt last night in Chisinau was a completely united people singing or dancing to folk music / folk progressive rock kind of fusion. A bit like Steel Eye Span, if you remember Steel Eye Span, but Moldovan. And even the singers in this rock band were wearing the sort of Moldovan national dress and thoroughly kitted up. And there was real sort of communitas and so on. And it's weird because they're so unused to foreigners and certainly so unused to English people that if they hear you speaking in English, they'll want to come and talk to you. I'll talk a bit more about that later. It's true that one of the things that was interesting as well is the internet is very good, which is rare in my experience in Eastern Europe, but they seem to have gone from having no internet to just having 5G. So, and there's no messing about signing in and giving me details and all this crap. You just sign in. It's free. You don't sign in. You just click on it. It's free. That's it. You have internet. That was the case at the airport. True that on the journey from the airport to the center of Chisinau, it really is being like being on a roller coaster. I mean, the roads are not good. But then once you get in, then Bald and Bankrupt, hello, Bertie Spitzpeas, hello, Basic Number, hello, Adam App. Once you get into the city, then Bald and Bankrupt really has done it a disservice. And he's gone to, if you've seen the Bald and Bankrupt video, which apparently, it's a small country, this brings in issues of cultural cringe, you know, cultural low self-esteem, invitation of bigger countries, caring what bigger countries think about them, that sort of thing. And so he's given it a really unfair write-up. And apparently people in Moldova are aware of this video. Obviously, this video has got a million views or whatever. It's done really well. And they're aware of this. And it really is incorrect. And not only that, but the Foreign Office advice about coming here is basically incorrect. So my mother, I mean, God's sake, I'm 45 in a couple of weeks' time, but was worried about my safety here, let alone in Transnistria, on the grounds that the Foreign Office website says that the streets of Chisinau aren't lit, that you should carry a torch, that it's extremely dangerous, that you should put anything of worth in a safe, that all of the, good evening, Rubius 333, anything of worth in a safe, all this kind of thing. And it's just not true. I feel perfectly safe here. Where is he? I'm in Chisinau, Jeff. I'm in Chisinau, the capital of Moldova, the place that in Europe that nobody goes to, and very few people have been to. So I thought I'd go and have a look. As I've said, not least because I think that this kind of place will be the holdout. This kind of place will be the kind of place where a Neo-Byzantium might be established. So you have this reasonably high level of safety. You had the whole city in the centre partying. I didn't see any evidence of violence. I think I only saw one person that was being talked to by the police or something. And they weren't drunk either. I was imagining if this was in England, they'd be getting completely pissed out of their brains and falling over and vomiting and pissing in the street and whatever. There was none of that. It's extraordinary the way these people maintain dignity. They don't care about, it's as though they don't care about practical things like the roads being properly surfaced, but they care about little things like the beauty. So you have sort of ornate decorations and it's the little things like that they seem to care about, which is very, very interesting. So, it's very, very pleasant. You feel very, very safe. The country was under the Ottoman Empire until 1815, and then after that it was under Russia. And under Russia, there's lots and lots of beautiful old 19th century buildings. Most of them are really, really quite well maintained. All this sort of thing. And so the centre is. It's very, very pretty. It's very picturesque. The prices are Ukraine. I don't know how Ukraine is not the poorest on country, but it isn't. It is Moldova. For some reason, we don't really understand why. I don't understand why. But the prices are very low. Not low for them, because I get the impression that the average salary is about 500 euros a month or something. But low for us, about a quarter. For a lot of things. No, not Romania ham and eggs. I really should have put it in the title, but we didn't keep asking. Should I put it on the screen? I'll put on the screen. Chisinau. There we go. I'll do that. Chisinau. And then nobody needs to keep asking. And that's sorted. And people that have tuned in late can know. So there we go. It's Chisinau. That's where I am. So America and the EU is giving money to Moldova as well, Mr. Redondo, and you see a lot of EU flags and whatever that are in that are marking that. So that's the centre of Moldova. There's a lot of little things that you notice that you're aware of with regard to the relative poverty of the place, like little things that stick out. So for a start, just behind the main high street, there is a massive market. I mean, absolutely huge. And almost anything you could think of, you know, the equivalent of B&Q, DIY stuff, that sort of thing. Switchblade knives, tasers, illegal cigarettes, anything you could think of, a whole massive meat market, a huge area that's just fruit and vegetables, a huge area that's just this and that, whatever, is available at this market. Do I need a visa? No, you don't need a visa, Helio, you don't need a visa. You just go straight in. But one of the things that you notice is that they have a lot of shops. I forget what the name of the shop was, but it was a chain dedicated not a garden center in the British sense of a place where you buy flowers and whatever. And there's also gardening equipment, but just gardening equipment. And so I guess that's one marker of the state of the place, which is that people do their own gardening. So it's they grow things. They supplement their income with food. And indeed, on a number of on the street up to the main market and on a number of other streets, the side of the street is lined with normally old ladies, babushkas, whatever, basically, just selling stuff they've grown in their gardens to supplement their income. I understand that the state pension here is 50 euros a month, so it's not very good. So you cannot live off that. So they supplement it with these vegetables and whatever, massive cabbages, whatever that they've managed to grow. So you see that all along the streets. It is true. Is Chisinau a country or a city? Someone's asking. Tree Goblin's asking. Chisinau is a city. Do I have to change it to Chisinau, Moldova to avoid it? I'll happily do that if that is an issue. But no, Chisinau is definitely a city. It's the capital of Moldova. Where was I? Yes, so all along the streets, and you see that and you have that. With regard to what I was saying about the temperance culture, that's quite interesting. So they are not a temperance culture. They are a non-temperance culture. They don't get smashed. And even at this massive celebration of the city, I didn't see anyone drunk. And the thing they seemed to be drinking was lovely mulled wine. It's very, very, very dignified, very civilized. So civilized, in fact, that one barely felt one was drinking anything. But then we went out to get some booze later, being British and so forth. And you find interesting rules, which is that after 10 o'clock in everywhere, they won't sell beer. They'll sell wine, which is 12%, and you can get seriously drunk on, but beer, no, no, no. That's completely inappropriate to sell after 10 o'clock at night. Wine, yeah, knock yourself out. Beer, no, no. And last night we went to this garage. There was one place, this like equivalent of Waitrose in Chisinau, that wouldn't sell wine or beer after 10. Oh, that's another thing I should mention, is the bribery. That was interesting. So at this particular shop, the guy kind of implied, I can't let you pay for this with the card because the machine won't let me, but you can pay for it with cash, which we didn't have any of. But the implication, I think, kind of was, with my unseeing eyes and your unseeing eyes, I can sell you this beer, but maybe you should express your gratitude for me illegally selling you this beer with a little gift for me. And I was talking to a particular businessman who spoke very good English that I got chatting to in the market. And he was saying the same thing. He was saying that what you will do, I mean, he was quite careful about the way he put it. But he said that it is not uncommon that you, if you go to the hospital, in theory, the health service is free here. But in practice, you will express your gratitude to your nurse or your doctor with a little gift. And that gift will take a financial form. And someone was telling me today that is apparently the case even in school, that you might express your gratitude to a teacher. I don't know, in that kind of way. So I'm saying all this stuff, and I've literally got a Moldovan sitting behind the camera, and I'm very aware of you know her reaction, of whether I'm going too far or whether I'm not telling the truth or whatever. But I'm just saying what I've been told. bribery seems to be endemic in this at least in some of those that I've spoken to. I haven't actually bribed anyone yet myself personally, but it seems to me that this is how it works here. This is what greases the wheels of this country, or at least parts of it. So that's a downside. Another thing that I noticed walking along the main street in Chisinau, it happened a number of times, was people that looked like as though they'd had some serious childhood disease, which had altered permanently the nature of their bodies. So they had bandy legs or something because of childhood rickets. I don't know what, but that was, I've seen a number of people with bandy legs, permanently bandy legs. And you get that from things like polio and rickets and these kinds of things. So obviously this implies, hello, Finbear, how are you doing? My missus is in Romania right now, says Finbear. Is she? Well, there's a lot of cars here from Romania. And I get the impression that a lot of Moldovans have the right to get a Romanian passport via their granddad or their great-granddad or something. And I also get the impression that they can just drive people to get the relevant documents to show that they have the right to a Romanian passport. I don't know. And so then they can... there's a lot of cars with Romanian marks on, anyway. So I wonder if people have gone to Romania and worked and earned money and come back here with cars that are Romanian. But you see a lot of cars parked around that are Romanian on the registration plate. A few German, a few Ukrainian. So obviously, so that was that was something that stuck out. Another thing that stuck out is the women. That's what the stereotype is here, but I understand that it's about 56% female, and obviously you're getting all these people leaving the country. Something like, I mean, I don't know if my calculations are exactly right, but I get the impression that something like 1/3, if not more, possibly even 40% of Moldovans are in the diaspora. And obviously they send money home because it's like the way that English people are increasingly feeling, isn't it? Their attitude is, this country is rubbish, it's no good, it's not meeting my needs, I'm getting out, I'm going somewhere better. Thank you to climate management. So they can do that. So I think that they do that. And you have this weird situation where, imagine that you have 1/3 of the country living outside the country. And there's a divide here at the moment between whether you're basically the two main parties, whether you're pro-EU or pro-Russia, essentially. And the governing party is pro-EU. And the people that live in this country are probably a bit more inclined to be pro-Russian, particularly because old people are more likely to be pro-Russian. And then you have the people that live abroad that seem to be more pro-EU or pro the EU party here. And then they vote and they can vote. And so, of course, I assume they can vote for life. And so, of course, and without paying a tax. And so, of course, this will influence the election, but they don't live here. But then on the other hand, I suppose you could argue that they should be allowed to vote because they are presumably sending money back. And this is extremely important to the Moldovan economy. So it swings and roundabouts, really, as far as I can see. Crass diasporan, someone's saying. I'm going to have to ban the person that said I was a crass diasporan. I'm not a crass diasporan. I'm just a diasporan. I'm just a. But I get your joke. That's very funny, sir. Crass Darwinian, crass diasporan. Yes. Ah, Paul, I miss him. But I'm away for a while. Do they eat a lot of turnips? Someone is asking. I went to a restaurant tonight called Typhus, and I asked for traditional Moldovan fare. And it wasn't turnips. It was vine leaves and leaves of something else. I think cabbage with sort of mince in and stuff. And then it was some sort of, basically, they seem to like eating literally donuts that have mince in. That's what they like. And then they have this kind of very strong cottage cheese, essentially, goat's cheese, but it's kind of like cottage cheese, very, very flaky sort of thing. And that was quite nice as well. I quite liked Moldovan food from what I've had of it, which is obviously I've only been here a day. So there was that. And then there was these things, corn, something or other. I don't know how to describe them, but they're almost like puff pastries made of corn. And they were oh yes, yeah, so I show that on the camera. Yeah, let's show that. So what is this called?
Rimza.
So I've just been handed this is goat's cheese, and it's extremely strong and very salty. They don't even refrigerate it. And they love this stuff here. And when I walked into the relevant part of the indoor market, the overwhelming, pungent, milky smell of this kind, it looks like feta. Yes, it's like feta. Pop kettle on, love. It's like feta, but not inconsiderably stronger tasting. So that's a big... a big part of that was a big part of the diet, but that's the thing that they have here. what else? So that was the market, and then at the market, I got talking to a particular businessman, and I may now be the face of Golden Deer cigarettes, because which he was selling, and which are these Moldovan cigarettes, and he wanted to film me smoking them. And then saying who I was and how they were, you know, they were a good smoke. Now, as you know, Mrs. Dutton made me give up smoking in about 2004. So I haven't regularly smoked since then. But they were, and apparently, like it says here, that they reduce your fertility. There you go. That's another thing with the Romanian language. It's so easy to understand. It's basically Latin with a bit of Russian words chucked in, like dar, but otherwise Latin. So it's very, very easy to understand. I literally asked a guy where the meat section was today in Spanish, and he understood. He understood carne. And so it turns out that donde is not where in Romania. It's unde or something. But it's a bit like donde. So much for the Romanian language that they speak here. And they're mainly Orthodox. And I went into this... Orthodox church there, which is very, very beautiful, with paintings of the guy that was prominent in this country. He was like the prince of this country in between 1457 and 1504, called Stephen the Great or Stephen Calamare or some such word. And so that he's the big chap here. He's also a saint. So there's lots of paintings of him. Steak of cheeses. Yes. Tiras Apolitans district. Well, I'm going there in a few days' time. You think it's much better than Chisinau, sir, the defenestrator. Yes, I shall find out. I shall find out in a few days' time. I'm going to go there. So yeah. So watch this space. But so that was that. And lots of little signs like that of the poverty once you get outside of the central. A few roads, you get things like particularly this Bucharest Street, which is unbelievable. One side of Bucharest Street is paved and nice, and that's the side they have the lights on, the street lights on. And the other side of Bucharest Street, a monkey could have paved that. In fact, it may well be they did employ monkeys to pave it. It was unbelievable. It was you'd fall over. You really just have to be careful. I wonder if that's what happened, if the British person that wrote the Foreign Office report on Moldova walked up that street only and fell over on his face, all mud and that, and then decided he would just say that was true of the rest of Chisinau, because it isn't. It's true of anyone giving it. It's outrageous. I can't take this now. Right. Anyway, that was hello. Don't know. no, I don't want to do that. I just want to do that. I can't do that. Right. Okay. No, not. I didn't say it. Right. Sorry. Producer, do you want to be introduced to the audience?
No,
it doesn't want to do that. Where was I? So this is all very good. So there are many. I've basically been generally quite impressed by it. a few interactions with just little peculiar things, I guess, because it's so isolated. It's from other places that you or certainly from the West that you just don't that surprise you. So, for example, in the street, in a kind of bunk bed of cages, there was a kit. There was a puppy having a little sleep, and then some kittens having a little sleep, and then some more kittens. And that was the kind of animal rescue league, animal shelter people of Kisina. And you can adopt those kittens or those puppies there and then. And that's how they operate. It's very complicated buying a dog in a lot of countries, and you have to sort of go through certain hoops and whatever. And you certainly can't just find someone selling them in the street. But there they were, and they were lovely, selling them in the street. And I've noticed this, actually, that they're very nice to their dogs. So at the thing last night, there was this bloke, like, no homo, like, completely normal. And, you know, nothing weird about this. And he just had this dog zipped up in his jacket to keep the dog warm. And it's quite a big dog. So there are some eccentricities like that. But as I was saying, though, a moment ago, I got waylaid. It is 56% female here. So you have a large diaspora, and the diaspora obviously is going to be, I would expect, substantially male. And this, as we know, creates runaway sexual selection. And if you have this in hunter societies, because a lot of men are getting killed in hunting accidents, and so you have an excess of women, then we end up with steatopygia, the Hottentot apron, that sort of thing. Or in Europe, of course, you end up with pale skin, green eyes, blue eyes, ginger hair. This is a function of runaway sexual selection caused by there being far too many women in comparison to the men. And it seems to me that you do see this here. The women seem to put a tremendous amount of effort into their appearance, and they tend to look noticeably good. And they're also very thin, most of them. Right? You're very few. I haven't seen many overweight people at all, let alone overweight young women. I guess part of that is that cigarettes here are cheaper than food. But I mean, cigarettes are about €2.50 a packet, yeah. And some items of food that I've seen, like Haribo Star Mix, are actually more expensive than in Finland. So if you think that the salary differential is like, then Haribo, if you like Haribo and you're Moldovan, you're screwed. It's like buying steak. But if you're if you don't like Haribo and you like cigarettes, then no problem at all. So this was that. They talk about them being surly. I was warned about this, actually. I was told by a chap that nobody here smiles, particularly not the men. I don't think I found that. I found them to be very friendly. Last night, a few times, people came up to me and wanted to talk to me because I was talking to a camera in English, and they came up and wanted to talk and practice their English and that sort of thing. Or we found people that would talk through translation, and they seemed perfectly friendly to me. One thing that stuck out is that I've seen enough Moldovan women that it's worth commenting on that are very tall, and I don't know why that is. The genetics of the Moldovans, as I understand it, is rather different from the genetics of the Romanians. And the genetics is more kind of Ukrainian and sort of Dalmatian and things like this. So I don't know if that's relevant, but I've seen a number of strikingly tall women. Yes, I was going to go on to that. Yes. There's not much in the way of there's almost nothing, in fact, here at all. It's overwhelmingly Moldovan. The one thing that you do see, do they make plum brandy? Yeah, they make brandy. I've seen brandy on the menu, certainly. I think about plum brandy. They're wearing heels, Ed. No, Mr. Smith, I sat on a bench observing this. I can see who is and who isn't wearing heels. And I've seen many tall women who are not wearing heels, and they're noticeably tall. So I don't know. I can't tell you what the reason is for this genetically. I can only speculate. But it's yeah, someone's mentioning the cost of booze in Tiraspol. Yeah, it's very cheap here. Booze is really, really noticeably cheap. That's for sure. I didn't measure them, Tree Goblin. I measured them in the sense that I made a rough estimation of their heights with my eyes. But I didn't measure them. Gagazia, so nearby. I don't know. Yeah, this is true. I'm going to go there. I think is it tomorrow or the day after tomorrow? I'm going to Gagazia. The Gagazians are a Turkic minority. As I understand it, they're Christian, but they're ethnically kind of Turkic, and they live in Moldova. And I'm going to go and see them. I've got to bring some alcohol back to Finland. Alas, Maxim, I only brought hand luggage, so I won't be able to bring any alcohol back to Finland. Or I'll go to England, actually, anyway, but unfortunately. So congratulations, Finbear, on your baby. So there was that tallness that I noticed. The other thing they have here is a few Indians. And I spoke to some of them today. And the reason for that is, and I spoke to them about this. I ran into two chaps that were from Kerala, in the south of the country, one a Christian, one a Muslim. And they study medicine. So Moldova has four internationally recognized universities. So again, I don't know, because of corruption or whatever, others are not internationally recognized, the degrees are not recognized. But it has four that are internationally recognized. One is something like the State University of Moldova. I forget the other two. And then there's one that's called something like the Medical School of Nicholas something or other. And that's internationally recognized. And it offers medical degrees through the medium of English. And they have to, but then they have to learn, they also have to learn Romanian, though, as part of their course. So when you train to be a doctor, you have to do practice with patients, obviously, that kind of thing, in hospitals and so on. And so, of course, they have to do that. And therefore, they have to learn, they have to be able to learn enough Romanian to be able to do that. But the course and the teaching and all the stuff at the beginning, I don't know at what point in that, so obviously, it takes you years to learn a language. The degree is about 5 years long. And so across that time, they were saying to me today, that they go to regular Romanian classes and they have a crash course in Romanian at the beginning, and then they are expected to go to regular Romanian classes. Although, as I say, it's so obvious, it's just so similar to basically Italian as you know, for us English people and all of these Indians are, of course, going to speak very good English. They're high class Indians. It's going to, half our vocabulary is Latin, isn't it? It's Latin via French or just Latin. So I can't see that this language would, I think this language would manifestly be easier to learn than Finnish. And even today I was able to, there was a war statue in the area where Borden Bancroft went, where he was moaning about how badly kept it was and all this, in this area, Nigezi Boulevard or something, this area, there was this statue, and it said something like, erected in the memory of the liberation of this city from the German fascists. And I was able to read that just in Romanian, because it's so strikingly similar to Latin, and you can just understand it. I seem to recall the word for memory was something comparable to the word senescence, sinisti, or something like this. And I guess that I thought it was probably memory on that basis. Yes, so that was that. So you do get a small number, a very small number of Indians here, both male and female, who are doing medical degrees, and a small number of people from other places. Uzbekistan was the main one, and also Israelis. And apparently, the Israelis are doing some Israelis. The Indians were saying that the tuition fees, which are, I think someone said to me, 1,000 euros a year, are considerably less even than is charged in India. Finbear's asking, does it feel safe? Yes, I feel entirely safe. I even went to a relatively rough area today, a bit outside the centre, and we deliberately were looking for sort of poverty, essentially, and to film the people that were selling their wares by the side of the road. And I felt completely safe. It wasn't like when I walked around in Delhi in 2007. There, I did not feel safe. I did not feel, me and my wife did not feel safe to walk around at night. It was just so weirdly unstable and odd and totally unlit. Whereas, and just dangerous, the roads are uneven, and it was just terrible. I certainly feel perfectly safe here. And so the Foreign Office advice with regard to Moldova proper is rubbish. It is Western propaganda. Just to say that it's unsafe here. It's perfectly safe, as far as I can see. You do notice bars on the windows quite a bit, but I don't know if that's to do with safety or if that's to do with Jolly Heretic. Have you found? I have found none. I have seen not a single rainbow flag here. I don't know whether, if I went inside one of the universities, I haven't done that today, but I might see something like that. I'm being told no. So that has not come here. I don't know if you saw the recent tweet by Eric Kaufman on this that found that the identification in that regard has collapsed by about half since 2020. So it's basically a fashion that is out of fashion. So I'm going to turn to, so this is what's happened so far anyway. How many more days are you staying in Moldova? I believe 4 for that age. So I can't remember the names of these places, but I'm going to the Turkic area. I'm going to Transnistria. And a couple of other places. So are there many Jews in Moldova? Someone's saying. Apparently yes, but I haven't seen any. It's a very interesting place, and you can see the potential in it. It reminds me of how Notting Hill must have seemed in the 50s. That you can, well, although to be fair, people weren't fleeing from a civil war, that they were basically living in Holland Park or whatever, and they could either get somewhere in Holland Park, which was prestigious but dinky, or they could be the Vortrekkers, out into the world of Notting Hill, which was an extremely poor area where there'd been riots and things, and that's what they did, and gradually Notting Hill is transformed. Of course, then eventually the locals are driven out, which is a shame. But is then transformed into the Notting Hill that we know today. And that process has happened twice. This is the second time that you've had gentrification, then degentrification. So cities go in the same kind of process as countries, but just over shorter periods of time. So when Notting Hill was originally built, it was like a garden city. It was a really posh, plush part of London in the mid-1700s. And then it degenerated. And then with the collapse of the spinning industry based around the Huguenots and the Industrial Revolution and so forth, it collapsed into a slum. And then it's been gentrified again. And so you can perfectly conceivably think that something like this might happen with Moldova. There's a lot of potential. And there's businesses here where people are investing from outside, from Denmark, for example, and from other countries, and they see the potential. Now, someone asked me a question about, can a Westerner live here? I've only been here a day. I don't know what details and hurdles you have to go through. Okay, I'm in the culture shock stage one, and I would imagine that living here, there's probably all kinds of silly bureaucracy. There's even little things like already that I'm aware of bureaucracy-wise, such as that you can't drink anything and drive. Not anything. Even in Finland, you can have a pint and drive, but in this country, nothing. And apparently it's illegal to jaywalk, and they may fine you if they catch you. And even the selling things at the side of the road that they all do is technically not allowed, but of course they tolerate it because presumably there would be an uproar and it would be considered terribly cruel, these old babushkas, to stop them from doing that. So there's little things like that. I imagine, I am guessing, I don't know. I've just got here, for God's sake, what can I say? But there's probably all kinds of bureaucratic stuff. But anyway, I'll just turn to the questions before I wrap up. So first of all, we have a question from, how do I get these things off?
hide current comment. Also, you can import comments. Oh, a load of nonsense. I want to see the comments. Hide current comment. Fine. Right, that hasn't helped. We have a question from decline management. Can expats live cheap and good life like in PI? I don't know what PI means. But PI. Philippines. Oh, right. I don't know. Never been to the Philippines. But it is cheap. My understanding is that housing is reasonably cheap and food. If you've got a Western salary, not if you have a Moldovan salary. If you're doing something international, money wise, then obviously it's cheap. It seems to me it is cheap. So that's certainly the case. Coney, thank you, sir. Aren't Moldovans just Romanians who use Cyrillic? No, on a number of levels. First of all, they don't use Cyrillic. So that's out. Secondly, they aren't. They're genetically different. They're genetically sort of more Ukrainian and whatever. So it's quite separate. And they were separated for quite a long period of time as well because Romania started to become independent of the Ottomans in about 1877, something like that. But back as early as 1815, Moldova had come under Russia, whereas Romania had remained under the Ottoman Empire. And so you can see there's all this, so therefore Moldova looks to Russia, whereas Romania doesn't. So this is a little bit different. No. Andrew Allens, thank you, sir. Your opinion on necessity, importance of cultural, spiritual heroes, poets for the survival of a people. I think that without such individuals, a people can crumble regardless of material blessings. Yes, I agree with you. And one of the things that I liked about Moldova is its promotion of that. So there's frequent little friezes on walls and statues of exactly those kinds of people. And they understand that there's something. It's almost like they understand that there's some things that are beyond the material, and they will put money in. Just things like the way they're so focused on looking good and dressing nicely. You know, it's sort of rises the soul. You know, puts you in. Are they trying to get in touch with the transcendent? I don't know what they're trying to do, but they do seem to have that attitude. These ornate little decorations, things like that. They're just about reaching transcendence or something. What else are they about? So they do seem to feel like that, I think, which is quite interesting. So, yeah. So I'll keep you updated, chaps, but this is my impressions of Chisinau so far. Basically, bald and bankrupt, gave it a bad rap and he shouldn't have done. And the Foreign Office has given it a very bad rap and they shouldn't have done. Chisinau is worth visiting and we will be producing a documentary on it in due time. All right. Well, oh, by the way, cheers is in Moldovan, in Romanian, is salutation. Well, it's not, it's like sanitati, but I like to think it's sanitation. So, sanitation, chaps. I will see you all soon, and goodbye.